Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello and welcome. My name is Steven and you're listening to Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. I am a tarotist, a tarot reader, and a traditional astrologer, and you can find me over at PsychicAccess.com. Tonight we have Diane Hennessy Powell. The subject is ESP. Everybody's excited. Who doesn't want to have ESP as a skill? But before we get there, we have also here my co-panelists, my co-hosts. Maureen, how are you doing this evening?
Well, to be quite frank, yes. I'm very hot. It's 80 degrees at the beach here, yay, but it's beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, how nice. Well, California girl, why don't you tell us what you do over at PsychicAccess.com?
I don't serve. I serve. I'm an empath intuitive advisor, psychic consultant. I utilize tarot cards as my main tool, because I do feel tarot is a symbolic record of human experience. From where I'm standing, I will always stand by that. And I love what I do, and I do because I'm do what I do because I must.
Well, we love what you do as well, Maureen. One of the reasons you're here tonight is because you're one of our most popular psychics. So welcome to the show. We hope you enjoy what Steve has to present to us regarding ESP.
I do. Thank you, Oshaks. Thank you.
Well, Sadia, how are you doing this evening?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Steven?
I'm excited. I've always wanted to learn more about ESP. I've been wanting this skill ever since I was a kid. And so I'm looking forward to learning a lot about it tonight. But before we get there, why don't you tell us what you do over at Psychic Access?
Well, I am an empath. I'm intuitive and I'm a medium. So I get my information from people's guides and loved ones who have passed, and am able to tap in to people's life contract, life review, and Akashic records.
Oh, very, very nice. And she's going to do that for us tonight in the second hour when we have the live call-in readings. Thank you very much for joining us tonight, Sadia. And finally, last but not least, we have my colleague, Stephen Frampton. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm very well, thank you, Stephen.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Before you tell us about your guest, can you please describe what you do over at PsychicAccess.com?
Absolutely. I am a psychic medium and hermetic astrologer. And I'm really excited this evening that we will have Dr. Hennessy Powell with us. She'll be joining us in just a moment. Her book, The ESP Enigma, is one of my absolute favorites. I've read it over and over, and it is just packed with case studies and scientific evidence for psychic phenomena, and that's what we'll be exploring this evening. I know that Dr. Powell was raised by very smart parents who encouraged her enthusiasm for academia and science, and she really has made exploration, scientific research, the top priority in life. She's extremely interesting. I encourage you to check out her website, DianeHennessyPowell.com. There's also a link on our Psychic Access guest profile. But I know that Dr. Powell is extremely interested in human consciousness, covering neuroscience, physics, psychology, spirituality, genetics, even molecular biology, anthropology, and pretty much everything. So we're going to have a fantastic interview. Diane, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Stephen. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's wonderful to have you here, Diane. You know, I'm a big fan, and I've read your book so many times. I think my first question for you, Diane, is when did you first become interested in psychic phenomena?
Well, I really was raised with, you know, science, as you mentioned in your introduction. And when I was in medical school, I was trained as a psychiatrist afterwards, and but when I was even at the beginning, you know, in my first clerkship in psychiatry, they were telling me as a medical student that if someone tells you that they're capable of reading other people's minds or that other people can read theirs, that it's a sign of insanity. So that's how I had been trained at Johns Hopkins, which was the number one medical school and university in the country at the time, and still is. So when I was on faculty at Harvard, I was teaching neuropsychiatry, and I was very, you know, very much in that, in the model of neuroscience and neuropsychiatry, but I at the same time was someone who liked to listen to patients and learn from them, and I was asked to do a consult on this woman who had come in the night before, and she had, you know, complained of the, you know, symptoms of having a heart attack, and they admitted her. And the next day, she was wanting to leave the hospital against medical advice because you can't, you know, she was, you know, seeing ghosts, and she was feeling, you know, just like, you know, this isn't going to work. And she also was telling people she was psychic, and so you can't leave the hospital against medical advice if the staff think you're insane. And so that's why they called me in as a psychiatrist to declare her incompetent to sign out. And they were shocked when I came back and I didn't declare her incompetent to sign out, because when I went in to see her, she started to tell me all of these things in detail about myself that there was no way she could possibly know. And on top of that, she predicted things in the future, which eventually came true. Very specific things, like how many children I'd have and where I'd live and who I do for a living. I mean, yeah.
So that made you intrigued and wanting to research psychic phenomena.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was raised that if you have data that throws out your theory, I mean, that it really says, you know, this, it flies in the face of, you know, what you've been taught as, you know, the theory, then you have to challenge your theory. You know, you don't throw out the data. And unfortunately, in science today, there is a lot of data out there that is just totally ignored. And if it gets on their radar, it gets shot down before it's even looked at closely, because it is just so threatening to the paradigm that they're all doing their research and believing is the paradigm for understanding consciousness.
Do you feel, though, Diane, that tendency is starting to change, that the scientific community is a little more open than it used to be, or is it still as challenging as ever?
It's interesting. I would say that it's kind of like the what else is going on in this country. This country is very polarized, and so there are doctors and scientists who are very open to this science, and I've converted many people who are skeptics by just showing them the data. And so there is a shift changing, but then, you know, just like what you see happening in other arenas where there's change happening, you know, there's also resistance to that change as well. So we have both things going on.
And why do you feel people resist when data is available?
Well, it's interesting. I'm a psychiatrist, and so I spend a lot of time with that one. Why do people resist that which is not familiar, you know, to them? And it really shakes people's world up, you know. It's look at how much they resisted the idea that the Earth went around the sun, you know, rather than, you know, the other way around.
It's true. But it seems that people resist looking at the data. I know I'm not a scientist, but as an astrologer, I love a conversation with a skeptic and say, well, how much research have you done on astrology? Mm-hmm. Because you can't refute it if you do the research. So is it that the scientific community just doesn't want to pay much attention to these findings, this data?
Well, when you are, it's not just that, it's also you put yourself on the firing line when you do what
okay.
I do.
I
you
see.
Know, and, you know, in fact, I mean, I had consequences for writing a book with BSP in the title. You know, the people, you know, the medical board read the title and, you know, and they were suspicious of my sanity. They didn't read the book. And, you know, just like people the skeptics don't really read, go in and dive into the research and really want to see, is there really anything in here? You know, they don't look at it. They just disclaim it, you know, right off the cuff. And so what's happened is when you've had scientists who put themselves out there and say, no, I think there's something to this, there's a lot of backlash. Like, John Mack was someone who, at Harvard, he was someone who was down the hall from me, and after I had left, he did research on people who had been sent to him by the government for evaluation, and they were people who had claimed that they had been abducted. And all he said really in his first book was that he didn't see evidence for them having a sign of mental illness. He didn't say that they were abducted. It's true, he didn't say anything like that. But just saying that he didn't see any evidence of mental illness was enough for him to actually have to fight with attorneys for his tenure at Harvard. Harvard tried to kick him off the faculty.
Wow. Well,
yeah. And he was the person who actually founded the Department of Psychiatry at the hospital that he was at. So he was a psychoanalyst, and a Pulitzer Prize-winning psychoanalyst that happened to. So scientists are, there are scientists who will tell you behind closed doors that they believe in this stuff, that there's no way they'd ever go public about it.
Well, we're glad that you did, Diane. Your book, and I'm not just saying this to flatter you, your book is, I've been reading books about extrasensory perception, the paranormal, metaphysics since I was about 7, and yours is my favorite. It's absolutely fascinating and full of evidence. And I wanted to ask you to tell us a little bit about the first chapter, which is focused upon the brain and consciousness. What can you share with us to help us understand consciousness better than we perhaps do?
Oh, there's a reason I wrote a book, and actually I could write volumes.
You should.
You can narrow the question down a little bit. I mean, you know, one of the things that I do in the beginning of the book is I look at the model that neuroscientists hold on to so dearly. You know, it's this, you know, that the brain is what creates consciousness and that we are really just basically biological robots. That is a model that is held on to very dearly by neuroscientists. And yet if you look at that model, it doesn't explain much at all. It doesn't explain free will. That's a huge question. How could there be free will? And yet people have this sense that they have free will. But the neuroscience model is really actually a very deterministic model if you actually look at it and closely. But people, that's kind of a scary place to go, so people don't quite go there. But the reality is it doesn't explain free will. Then it also doesn't explain why we have this experience that there's an I there, that there's a me, that there's, you know, this, you know, but a lot of us would say is a soul, you know, this observing, you know, experiencing being, you know, that has not just, you know, mundane experiences, but then, you know, these really, you know, spiritual experiences and all kinds of other things. It doesn't really explain that at all, why we have that sense that there's any me there. You know, there's this argument within artificial intelligence as to whether or not if you created a computer and you really had, you know, all the algorithms for human consciousness, would it actually, you know, really truly develop a sense of I? And, you know, and that's, and a lot of people, say that's absurd. And that's really, though, what neuroscience says. So in the first chapter, I talk about, just these holes like that. And another one is, understanding even some of the things that scientists, say that, they accept as real, like autistic savants, which is one of the reasons why I've spent the last, several years looking into to their abilities.
Well, you read my mind, because I was literally about to say that I read your very interesting blog about autistic savants, and I've got a lot of things I want to ask you about, Diane, but could you help us to understand autism, or particularly those cases of autistic savants?
Well, let me first of all explain for people what autistic savant means, so that people are clear about that. So autism is this condition in which people have both a language and a social impairment, and so they frequently are mute. And or if they do have language, it can be aberrant in some way. And of course, there's the whole spectrum. You have people who have autism, and their language really is very very intact, except for some quirks. For example, they may flip pronouns, and use you to refer to someone, to themselves, because they hear someone else calling them you, and so then instead of saying I, they'd say you. so there can be a quirk like that. But anyway, so they have these something about their language that is not typical, and then also there's ability to socialize as well as compromised. And so that's what autism is, and then the savant comes in, and what that is that they have these abilities that are phenomenal. For example, the ability to Kim Peek knew over 12,000 books by the time he died in his late 50s. He knew over 12,000 books, word for word, memorized, backwards and forwards. He could recite them. And, so phenomenal memory, the abilities to do calculations such as coming up with prime numbers or cube, what's the cube root of a several-digit number, and doing it. And yet, here's why it's a savant skill. It's not just that they're like a genius, but they're doing this, and yet they don't actually have the basic primary building blocks that one has. These are people who, so they're giving you the cube root of a six-digit number, but they don't even know how to add 3 + 4. And so that's the part that makes it so like, how do they do that? It's because genius, there's lots of cases of genius, and people just say, well, we don't understand genius. But these are people who've had the connectivity of their brain is not that of other people. They're Kim Peek was somebody who had major hydrocephalus when he was a child, and so he lost actual brain matter, and yet here he's memorized 12,000 books. How does that fit in with the current model for memory, which assumes that it's all about all of this interconnectivity?
It's fascinating. Is it Kim Peek that could actually read two books at the same time, one with each eye?
Correct. Yes, he could
amazing,
do one
man.
With each eye.
Amazing.
Yes.
So it seems that these incredibly interesting and gifted people are somehow here to show us what's possible, to open our minds.
That's what, yes, I mean, I get a lot of emails from people who've heard about my work, and they have family members who have autism, and a frequent thing that people will say is, I hope it's part of your theory that they're not mistakes, that they are part of human evolution, because we're moving towards, this other way of being. I hope you understand that. And that's something that I had thought that was quite possible, because You know, it's sort of like, you know, going for, you know, like, you know, with the computer chips, you know, how they just each generation, they keep getting, you know, just exponentially more powerful. So, you know, so with the human brain, what else can it do? You know, what is the next way if we, you know, if we're evolving, what is the next, you know, what would that look like, you know? And, but the thing though that goes against that idea is something called the acquired savant syndrome. And what that is that there are people who are just like your average person. And then they have an accident. And Jason Patchett's one of them. And they have an accident. And then afterwards, they have all of a sudden they acquire these amazing skills. All of a sudden now they're, you know, award-winning artist or musician, and it comes effortlessly to them. And so, you know, one of the phrases that Daryl Trefert, you know, I got an email earlier from him today, and he's a person who was the consultant to the movie Rain Man and had worked with Kim Peek personally. And he was saying that, you know, that they're calling it, you know, accessing the inner little Rain Man within you, you know, or something like that. Kind of an interesting concept.
Well, Diane, it's so interesting. I want to ask you about twins, because I've read some of your research on identical twins and the interconnected consciousness that is so often experienced. Could you share with us some experience about these incredible cases?
Oh, yeah. There's so much information about twins. And I was someone who, it's just been part of my path in life that I have been friends with and have personally known over 20 sets of identical twins and three sets of identical triplets. I hung out with this one set of identical triplets when I was in sixth grade quite a bit, and it was one of the things that I became, you know, fascinated in, you know, the in the whole phenomena of, you know, the people who have so much in common, their genetics, you know, and the, you know, their family, and they all came at the same time pretty much, and so. In the literature, there are, you know, in the research literature, there's just so much information about identical twins where something happens to one of them and then it happens to the other one simultaneously in a virtual way. For example, there's a more recent story of these little girls who were playing on a playground. One of them fell, and she bruised her face, and the other girl didn't fall at all, but instantaneously got a bruise on her face at the same time. And of, you know, there have been cases of where one twin dies in an accident, and the other twin feels, you know, a searing pain across her abdomen at the same time. And then there are twins who were identical, but they were adopted away at birth, and they weren't adopted into the same family. They were sent to different families, and they were later reunited because there was this major study in Minnesota on identical twins who are raised apart, and the number of, you know, call them synchronicities or whatever you want to call them, but the number of things that they had detailed things that they had in common, just phenomenal. And the, I think the most extraordinary case are the Jim twins who had, you know, they were sent to different families and, you know, sure, okay, they're both given the name Jim, that's not a big deal, but then they both marry the women with the same name and that's like all of a sudden, and then they both get divorced and they marry, you know, their next wives with the same name and they name their dogs the same thing and then right before they meet, they both build a white fence around a tree, or white structure, circular structure around a tree in their backyard. I mean, you know, so what's going on here? And it's like that New Yorker cartoon that I put it in my newsletter, where you have the Malfert twins that, you know, that were separated at part at, you know, birth, and then they're both showing up at this patent house, you know, this patent lawyer's office at the same time, holding the same quirky invention, and they look exactly alike, wearing the same clothes. And some of these twins had that kind of experience. They were wearing the same clothes when they met up with one another, had the same, you know, chose the same brand of toiletries. And one can't explain that kind of synchronicity, you know, by genetics. You know, some, you know, our genome is way too simple for that to be explained by genetics. We have less than 30,000 genes. People thought we were going to have, you know, well over 100,000. And I mean, we have the same number of genes as a lot of plants. And we share a lot of our genes in common with plants. 47% of their genes we share in common with a mustard plant and bananas. So it's like, how, you know, so yeah, sure, they've got the same, you know, genetic, you know, material when they're born. But then, you know, when you go through life, you know, there's all this thing called epigenetics where the genes get, you know, modified, you know, depending upon what happens to you. And so if you look at the modifications of the genomes of identical twins, you know, using technology where you can see, you know, which parts of the genes have been activated or deactivated, and you can compare them, you see that they deviate from one another over a lifetime, you know, because they go on and they have different life experiences. So, you know, it's if you just do the math of, you know, what are the odds, you have to think maybe there's something else. And then there's all this research about telepathy. So it makes you think, well, you know, maybe, you know, people, maybe they are much more, you know, interconnected than we really actually, you know, think about, you know, because we're too focused on other things.
Well, telepathy is fascinating. What about precognition, Diane? How might we explain precognition when we're actually seeing the future, as opposed to connecting now to someone else's thoughts at this point in time, or coming up with the same invention as somebody else at this point in time? What about transcending time?
Well, see, this is the thing that's always really surprised me, is that here we had, you know, back in, you know, 1905, you know, we had Einstein, you know, coming up with his theory of relativity, and, you know, we learned that time is an illusion. We learned that time, you know, that we live in space-time, and that the passage of time, you know, deviates depending upon, you know, what speed, you know, what velocity you're traveling at, and that, you know, that there are all of these ways in which the sense that it's an arrow and that there's a past, present, and a future that goes in a line like that, as opposed to all existing all at the same time, you know, that way of thinking, that the past, present, and future all coexist, that way of thinking has been around for over 100 years in physics. And physics is really the foundation of science. You know, physics and mathematics, you know, the rest of science bows down to physics and mathematics, you know, as the hard sciences, you know, and everything else, you know, is considered to get softer and softer as you get away from the hard sciences. And so here we are with those sciences where, you know, theory of relativity and quantum mechanics, you know, are these, you know, these, you know, theories within physics that have been proven. And they, actually, those theories would lead us to believe that the world would be the kind of world in which these kind of events take place. And in fact, if we as human beings could have a conscious experience of this, that we would have these kinds of experiences, such as precognition. And lo and behold, you have people who claim that they, you know, and have actually experienced it, as I said earlier on, you know, someone who told me what was going to happen in the future with me. So I, you know, I think that we don't really have to redefine physics. It's right there already.
Well, it's fascinating. Diane, I've got a lot more questions for you, and I know you've got an enormous amount to share. We could interview you for days, but we're going to take a short commercial break, and then we'll be back in just a moment.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
Well, Diane, Dr. Powell, welcome back. I want to ask you a little bit more about your personal experiences. You mentioned this fascinating lady who was hospitalized and told you about your future, and you've worked with many, many people as a psychiatrist. Are you able to share with us the case that struck you most from a paranormal perspective?
When you say the case that struck me the most, you mean, you know, the, because I'd say that the first one that struck me the most, going from, you know, not believing to believing is, you know, how can you top that, right?
But do you find in your practice that many people have experiences that are not explained by science or the current paradigm?
What I would say is that because of the fact that, I mean, anybody who's seen me in my practice, certainly for the last several years, has known that I do research on ESP. If they go online, it's all there. they have felt that they, you know, it was safe to tell me. And I find that, you know, what people are calling paranormal are actually, you know, it's pretty common, actually, for people to have had these experiences of something, you know, whether it was something that they would call telepathy or precognition, you know, whether it was in a dream or in an awake state, that a high percentage of people have had something. And what's interesting is even the people who are the diehard skeptics, some of them will tell you about something, but they'll say, it's not paranormal, but you know, but they'll still say, but you know, there was this weird thing, you know, or you know, my, you know, crazy Aunt Gladys, she saw a spirit of my, you know, my great uncle, you know, the night he died, you know, so, you know, they'll have some story like that. And so it's I really think that that these are not that unusual of phenomena, but I think that people, because of the fact that there's this protection that, you know, people have, you know, of, you know, I don't want someone to think that I'm crazy, you know, particularly talking to a psychiatrist, I think they frequently don't talk about these things at all to psychiatrists. And but because I'm so public about my openness to it, I hear a lot of it.
I laughed the other day with a lady that asked me if I believed in extraterrestrials, other beings that are not on this planet, and I said, "Well, I'm a medium." It was quite entertaining. do you feel that there will be scientific validation of mediumship or the fact that there is life after death?
Well, that one's harder. That's a harder thing. I think because I'm working on. I think the thing that's going to be the easiest to prove is going to be telepathy, that or precognition. They're both big contenders for being the first thing to be proven. And presentiment has been shown, and that's interesting in and of itself. In terms of mediumship, the problem is that people make the argument, well, how do we know that this person isn't, that it's not just being psychic, you know, and not that being, you know, psychic, but the way they say that, as far as like, because being psychic has already been accepted in some circles, but, you know, being a medium is being psychic and also being able to access another realm. So it takes, so there's a, there's an overlap, but there's this group of people who believe in, you know, psychic abilities who don't believe in mediumship. And so the problem is that proving that it's not that the medium is picking up things from whoever it is they're doing a reading on.
Yeah, I always feel the best answer to that question is if the medium provides information that even the client doesn't know at the moment.
Yeah, but that's, yeah, and that's, I know, that's what a lot of people would say, but then the skeptics who are, you know, they are, you know, they're that, you know, nun with the hard ruler, you know. because they didn't like the look in your eye or whatever. So anyway, they would say, yeah, but you know, it could be that, you know, someone else knows it. How do you know they're not tapping in? You know, there's psychokinesis, you know, where people yes. will tap into the story, you know, from holding an object that's connected to a crime, for example. You know, so there are other ways of accessing information in space-time. And so that, so it, the problem is how do you know that it's not just, you know, psi, you know, you, and that, and so that's the, there have been these experiments that have been done in which they, what they actually do is they have, it requires a collusion basically on the other side of different spirits to each only give part of the puzzle. And then you all come together, each, none of you knowing, you know, knowing what the whole puzzle would be, and then you see if all the pieces fit together. Those kind of experiments. So people are looking at that. And then, you know, people are looking at all kinds of other possibilities. I'm as you probably know, I'm on the scientific advisory board for the Forever Family Foundation, and they research on mediumship. They support research on mediumship. And I met this this woman there who she Laurelyn Jackson, she said something that was very interesting to me, and she said that when she, because she's a medium and a psychic, and she said that when she's getting information as a medium, that it's in one hemisphere. You know, she sees it. I don't remember if it was on the left side or the right side, but she sees the psychic information on one side and the medium information on the other side. I thought, well, that's really interesting.
Yeah, my experience is the speed of it. That when you're when you're reading somebody psychically, you can almost continue and read, go on, and it's just steady. Whereas the mediumship is fast. You receive a huge amount of information, but in a nanosecond. That seems to be a difference that I've observed, the speed, the pace of it.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by those kinds of questions of being able to discern, you know, the differences. And this colleague of mine, he is someone who does QEEG imaging. So, you know, he'll do, it's like doing an electroencephalogram or a brainwave, that test that's just, you know, it's a bunch of lines, you know, if you've ever seen those tracings that are done that neurologists do. So that information, there's something, a way in which it can be quantized and fed into a computer and give you something that's a lot like a PET scan of somebody's brain, but it's portable. It's much more portable. You can bring this cap and this computer system and set it up, and you can see the person's brain activity and which, you know, and what's going on. And so I know that he's been doing some work to try to see, you know, it, that, does it look differently, you know, when you're looking at the brainwave patterns, when, you know, what's going on.
How interesting. Yeah. Do you think that one of the reasons there isn't more evidence is to do with the way research is funded, or the fact that there's so little investment in research of the paranormal.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge problem, funding. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you have to go to sources outside of the traditional, you know, NIH doesn't fund this sort of thing. so, yeah, it's all for private funding. And there, unfortunately, a lot of the universities had programs that have been shut down. So the University of Arizona used to have a program, and Princeton had a program, and Duke University had a program, and they've all been severely curtailed as a result of the fact that it's not the mainstream paradigm, you know. And so, you know, it's something that people do, and you know, in your eyes, searching for ways to fund it.
Well, what are you working on at the moment, Diane? I know that you've got this fantastic book, The ESP Enigma, which, as I said, I read it over and over because there's so much evidence in there. What are you working on now? What are you most interested in at this point in time?
Well, I'm. What I did was I really thought about strategically about how would I go about proving one of these psychic abilities, and who would be the best candidate. And in my book, I not only give a good sort of primer on the research that's been done in ESP and for all of the different types of ESP. But then in the second half of the book, I talk about imaging that's been done on people who have psychic abilities and people who have conditions that have a higher incidence of psychic abilities, you know, such as autism. And so, I predicted sort of who would be, you know, the ideal candidate, and I decided it would be someone who was an autistic savant, because there are reports of them having these ESP abilities, and whenever they do something that's interesting to them, they get really, really, really good at it. And you need that kind of repetition, you know, and reproducibility for science to stand up and look. And so I started searching for someone with autism who claimed to, who reported having some kind of psychic experiences. And what I kept running into were parents and caregivers who would tell me that they had a telepathic connection with their autistic child who was mute. And I became very intrigued by that and thought about my a hypothesis that I bring up in my book. And I'm not the first person to come up with this hypothesis, but it's that perhaps telepathy is a default, you know, or an old communication system that we had before language arose. And it's buried in us, but then, you know, when language is impaired, as it is in autism, then, and especially somebody who's mute, that it is something that they can do, that they tap into and use. And so I've had this 10-year-old girl who's been referred to me who is, by reports, telepathic on a real regular, real predictable basis. And so I'm going to be evaluating her.
Wow. How interesting. So is that research that you will be able to publish?
Yes. And in fact, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be filming it, because it's the kind of thing where people need to see it to believe it. And so I'm going to have cameras in which you can see what's going on. And then, depending upon what results I get, I'm going to be presenting. I'll be presenting at the Parapsychological Conference in Concord, California. That's this August.
Oh, and I would love to go to one of those.
That'll be in front of other parapsychologists, and they'll let me know if they're we'll be able to discuss the what the results are and whether or not we think that it would stand up to scrutiny.
Fantastic. Does one have to be a psychologist to attend a parapsychology conference?
No. It's just that you get a different rate if you're a member versus a non-member.
And so
look into it.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. And that conference in Concord, California, is that the foremost in the U.S. or are there several?
If you are a serious scientist in parapsychology, this is the conference to go to, or if you're interested in actually seeing serious science, where people get up there and they present data, whether it's not just presenting positive data. If you have, if you did your experiment and nothing, you got nothing, you still can, present it, because we're really not trying to, we're trying to find out what's real. We're trying to,
yes.
We're really trying to do science here. And we are, I am impressed with the degree of integrity in their science. I'd say that it's kind of like what they say about Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire, and everybody goes, ooh, isn't Fred Astaire great? And they say, well, but Ginger Rogers did the same thing only backwards and in high heels. And I feel kind of like parapsychology is kind of like that. It's just that you've got to do the same thing, only you've got to do it, under, the most intense scrutiny.
Do you hear many conversations or partake in many conversations amongst colleagues about things that are very easily validated, like astrology?
You're asking me, do I hear people talk about astrology?
Well, is that something that comes up at these conferences or that you and colleagues discuss? Because I, as an astrologer, I think that from my perspective, when I'm with a client, my measure of accuracy, if I'm doing mediumship, is whether the client's saying, yes, I do have an Aunt Betty, and yes, she did pass in August, and yes, she did pass 3 years ago. That's how I know if we're being accurate, if the work's accurate. But then when it comes to astrology, it's anybody can validate it. If it's good astrology, anybody can validate how accurate it is, whether it's
right.
looking at a person's psyche, their strengths in the world,
or
looking at predictions.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's been one of those, it's been another one of those things where, what would seem to be logical and rational isn't actually, what happens in the sense that, of all of these different things, astrology actually has, if anyone really looks into it, it has a mathematics behind it. It has a lot
yes.
of precision behind it. There's so much to astrology, and yet it is really kind of the stepsister of, of these kind of conferences. People don't really talk about it. And I think it's kind of one of those things where they're already dealing with the, being considered woo-woo by, mainstream science, and then astrology. You associate yourself with astrology, and then credibility even drops further. Unfortunately, that's the mentality.
We need to create our own little nation of fascinating people with who are practicing these things and doing the research, etc. But what I'll ask you, you might not want to answer this question, so say if you don't want to, but I was reading some information suggesting that some of the technology we have available to us now is reverse engineered from extraterrestrial technology. What's your view on that?
Well, I've heard that as well, and I don't really know that I don't think that I'm an expert to ask about that. I've certainly met people who are really credible people who who talk about that, but I can't say that I really have any, you know, any expertise in that area.
You haven't reverse engineered any technology from extraterrestrials this week, then, Diana?
That's one career I haven't done in this lifetime.
Maybe you will. Let me ask you this. Telekinesis or psychokinesis. I know that you wrote about psychokinesis in your book, The ESP Enigma, and that's something that absolutely fascinates me. Could you explain or give our listeners a definition of psychokinesis, and then perhaps tell us of the more interesting examples of telekinesis in your research?
Oh, you know, it's interesting because one of the things that I one of my thoughts about psychokinesis is, first of all, to define it, it's basically the ability of one's consciousness, that psyche, to kinesis means movement. So it's that ability for your consciousness to affect physical matter. And so it could be animate or inanimate. So, you know, some of the early research was done on, you know, bacteria, looking in the telescope and having the bacteria and the person, you know, thinking, you know, I want the bacteria to move over into, you know, this quadrant, you know, underneath the telescope and seeing, you know, if they did so and that sort of thing. And then, of course, there's, you know, the... Uri Geller, you know, famous for the spoon bending, and I've had lots of people testify that they went to actual spoon bending parties. You know, that people would show up with a barrel of spoons, literally, and they'd all sit there and rub the spoons and bend them, and those are examples of psychokinesis. But one of the thoughts that I have about it is that for mainstream science to say, you know, psychokinesis is impossible, you know, it's interesting because think about this. Neuroscience doesn't really understand the mind-body connection. We don't really understand how having a thought really goes from having that thought to us moving, you know, our arm or doing something. We do and we don't. We know that there's, you know, these neurons that go from the brain, you know, into our arm, but that's not what the question is. The question is, you know, how does a thought, you know, go from, you know, a thought to, you know, actually affecting our physiology? And so that is the mind-body connection. And what if your mind had remote effects, you know, that's all it's saying, is that it's not just happening, this mysterious thing that we don't understand with our model that's happening in our body all the time, that maybe that also can happen outside of our body. How can you rule it out when it's such a mysterious thing to begin with, right? That's how I think about it.
Well, as I said, your book is wonderful, Diane, and we admire you for doing this work, this pioneering work. We'd be fascinated to hear about your work with this 10-year-old and the subject of telepathy. Will you be writing another book, or is there a book in the pipeline?
Oh,
I'll
definitely
so
be writing a book, and what I'm trying to decide is, and it really depends upon what comes up over the next few months. But I could write a book that is on just telepathy, because that's such a major area of interest of mine. The other possibility is writing a book about autistic savants and psychic abilities. Things could go either way, but I'm definitely going to be writing about my research with autistic savants and psi.
Well, both books sound amazing, Diane. I think the more you do, the better for us.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, Diane, before you leave us, can I ask you to just tell us, for our listeners, where can they find out more about your work?
Visit my website. That's the best way to do it. And as you said, dianehennessypowell.com. It's D-I-A-N-E-H-E-N-N-A-S-S-Y-P-O-W-E-L-L.com. acypowell.com.
Great. Well, I've been looking at your website, Diana, and I'll continue to watch. I'm sure our listeners will as well. And we want to thank you for joining us, for sharing all of this with us, and wish you all the best for the exciting work that you've got planned.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's been lovely. Wish you all
the
best
as
well.
Thanks Bye-bye. For joining us. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Well, guys, that was a fascinating interview. I think that Dr. Powell's just incredible. I love her work. And as I said many times, I really do recommend that you get hold of her book, ESP Enigma, because it's one of those that you just can't put down. You have to just get the coffee machine on and stay in bed all day to read the whole thing.
Absolutely, Steve. I couldn't agree more. This was absolutely a wonderful, wonderful interview. And you know what? I can't wait for us all to talk about it. But before we do, I would like to make just a couple of announcements for everyone listening. And before we move on, if you need to get a copy of Diane's book, please go to DianeHenesseyPowell.com. Absolutely. We want you to stay tuned for the second hour of the show. We've got a lot left for you. We are far from done over here. You still have an hour to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We're going to announce that call-in number later, so have your pen and paper handy. If you couldn't catch last week's show on quantum healing, you'll be happy to learn that you can find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com. Under the Archives tab. Never miss your favorite psychic radio show ever again. It's all there for posterity forever. Rush over to the Archives ASAP and linger when you get there. Please spread the archive links and future show details to your friend and family around the internet. It's our goal to connect with as many of you as possible. So share those links and the light of knowledge and comfort that those links bring with others. Facebook, share it, tweet it. We need your help in letting the world know the goodness that we have. Now, be sure to visit psychicbloggers.com as well to learn about everything related to metaphysics and spiritual matters for free. Everything from reincarnation to soulmate seeking to developing your own psychic abilities is there. Psychicbloggers.com. Spread the word. If you need a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Every psychic has a detailed profile for you to discover more about them. You can choose from a list of some of the most authentically gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug and the Psychic Access team because of the high expectations required of each psychic advisor. All of the co-hosts here on psychicaccesstalkradio.com work at Psychic Access, and if you'd like a detailed personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We would love to hear from you. Incidentally, site owners, webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading for traffic that's referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, we sincerely hope that you do. Invite your friends to join us in the chat room. We want all of you to listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everybody, so spread the word. We very much appreciate it. And now, Steve, You really got my attention, especially, you had it throughout, but especially when she started talking about the mathematical foundation of astrology, my eyes really perked up. People need to hear that, don't they? Especially from a scientist.
Absolutely. I think that astrology is easy to validate, and I know that you're passionate about that as well. I'm not leaving this planet until we've proven the point.
Well, I think we couldn't be in a better age to prove the point. Here it is, the age of Aquarius. And, you know, as we age and get older, we're going to see a lot more material scientists hop on the bandwagon. And in fact, it's going to be the reverse, too, probably, where metaphysical and spiritual people hop on the materialist bandwagon. And there's going to be this cross-pollination of material science and esoteric matters. Don't you think, Steve?
I do. Absolutely.
It's going
It'll
to be amazing.
It'll come together.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Now, she specializes in ESP as a psychiatrist. What other fingers does she have her pies in, I wonder?
Well, there's a lot of information on her website. She's fascinated by human consciousness, basically, Stephen. Mm. So she's doing research specifically on telepathy and autistic savants at the moment, but I know that she's researched many other subjects. The book covers a lot.
You know, autism is such a fascinating syndrome. I don't even know what to call it. Do doctors even know what to call it? Has anyone defined autism yet? I mean, it's so mysterious, isn't it?
Well, I think that we are mysterious. I think that life is mysterious, and that's why we're so interested in the mysteries, the ancient mysteries.
Yes.
But there's so much to prove, there's so much to explore. We know so little, almost nothing. We don't even know where we are.
That's true. That's true. And if we rely on our own senses to tell us things, we're going to be misled because, you know, every day we get up and we see the sun rise and we see things rise in the east and set in the west, but their actual motion in space is quite the reverse. We just see them going one way because our globe is spinning around and around and around and around. That's all. You know, so that's one thing we like to do here, I think, at Psychic Viewpoint. And as psychics in general, we like to go for what's really accurate vision, you know?
Absolutely.
Really, really seeing things for what they are objectively. And that's why I always appreciate when people like Dr. Powell, you put their credentials. She's incredibly, her credentials are impeccable. And that we need people like her to validate our struggle. You know, it's good for all of us.
It is. There's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to hear what the other mediums. I know Sadia is a medium. Yourself, you're a medium. I can't wait to hear what everybody has to say about it.
Long pause. Okay, hello.
Yes, Steve? We're here. We're
there
here,
you man. Are.
We're here. Yeah,
we're all together. I can see.
What do you think? What did you think of the interview, Maureen?
I thought it's absolutely. You know, I just love. It seems like lately the interviews has been geared. I know I bring up my daughter a lot just because I know her. You know, I know there's other people, but that generation. But it appears like some of the lately the interviews, Sadia's, for instance, is everybody's interview was. It may be a different topic, but it's always coming back to the same thing. Big changes of merging and fusing together. Do you follow what I mean by that? It's a great time right now for everybody in the science world with spirituality, and I'm really excited about it.
I think we live in an exciting time, Maureen. We really do.
Yeah, and I'm really fortunate. I'm watching my daughter think, you know, she's a science person, but, you know, she's in this program that's at Columbia University. It's a great school, but the thing of it is, they're offering now, if they're such a high-rated school, the person's runs it is a graduate of Yale, and if these high-prestigious people, and she's a psychotherapist, but the bottom line is they're seeing that this is something, it's like everybody's coming out with it. That aren't afraid anymore. It's getting to be the norm, and that's what it's all about. If you watch Star Trek, the next generation, everybody's okay. But you know, I do want to address real quick the psychokinetic PK, because that I know I've spoken about this before. Maybe people don't remember, but that was how I actually got involved in my work professionally. The PK is a short for psychokinetic. I know they say psychokinesis. And UCLA probed me. No, they had me participate because I was having uncontrolled psychokinetic, and it was a very difficult time for me. I didn't know what was going on. And it turns out, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, but, you know, I miss those days, too, the things that were going on. And I was like, wow.
What happened, Maureen?
Well, you know, for many years I was self-medicating. This had been going on when I was a little girl. Things were moving. It's not like things were flying in the air, okay? But with my thing, they started doing research in the 40s with with things, movement, the mind, or certain personalities, or they. And it wasn't about the some ghostly thing they say are PK related. But my situation was I was suddenly not self-medicating by no fault of mine. It just stopped. Something was coming. Someone was giving me a kick in the butt. I don't know what it was, higher power, but things were everywhere I go. Things were moving. Different items. Things were falling down. Like things were lifting up. I was taping everything on the ground. The tables, I would put tape. And I mean, it was, it sounds like, and I'm crazy good, but it was absolutely mind-boggling. And because I was not self-medicated, I had to really look at things. Listen, I can't blame it on my self-medication. This is my in my face. I thought I was, you know, possessed. I was so scared. Anyway, I went up to UCLA after I calmed down. I contacted them. They had a parapsychology department ran by Dr. Thelma Moss. They were doing research study on people that are able, controlled or not controlled, that may have PK going on. And that's how I found out what PK, psychokinetic, meant. And I was not able to control it like that. And it's, well, you know, Nina, what was her name in Russia? You know, we've talked about her before. The most documented person. It was wearing on my body. I was very sick. You know, it was intense. But the tarot cards are like PK because they move. You shuffle them and there's movement. Mm-hmm. So I think I connect to them very well. They just kind of fall into place. But, you know, there's more to the story. But it was pretty intense and I was pretty overwhelmed. And I didn't know, I didn't have anybody helping me through this. So it's they did controlled studies for, you know, whatever. It was interesting, but
interesting stuff. Well,
I PK you. I PK you. Thank you, Stephen. Steve.
Thank you, Maureen. Thank you. Well, Jessica, you're a medium and psychic. Tell us what you think about the interview and some of your experiences.
Do you mean Sadia?
Sorry, Sadia.
That's okay.
I was dreaming of Jessica.
I loved it. I especially liked when she was talking about twins, because twins run in my family. And my father had twins, two girls, and unfortunately one of them passed when she was six. And my sister is the reincarnation of that soul. And so I like the whole concept of the connection of twins, and also how they often do stay. I find that they're so connected to the family, they will often stay in the family too. So that was really neat. And I had an experience, Maureen, you know, similar to you. When I was younger, it really scared me because I was, when I was a kid, things would move around for me as well. And I had this little pretend school. And I wanted to be a teacher, and so I had pretend homework, although it was real tangible paper, and I was sitting in a circle, and at the time I didn't realize that a circle was, you know, a very spiritual symbol, and also did kind of bring forth a lot of energy and even ESP, all that stuff. And I threw some homework in one kid's pile, and it didn't make it. And I thought, oh gosh, I'm going to have to stand up and get up and go stack it over there on that person's pile. Well, by the time that I got up to do that, it was stacked very neatly on top of the pile and had moved. So I had those same experiences, and it's so nice to have somebody writing about it. I think just for this generation too, this generation of kids that are growing up psychic are going to have resources, and they're not going to feel so strange. They're going to be able to type it up, type all the information in on the computer, and realize there are other people just like them. So I really appreciate her work, and I thought it was a great interview, Steve.
Thank you, Sadia. Thank you. She's wonderful. You must read her book.
I definitely will.
Yeah, it's excellent. I look forward to any more publications from Dr. Powell. Well, Stephen, let's bring you back on. I want to ask you some questions.
Sure.
What can you say is your most interesting experience with the paranormal?
I have had those sorts of thrilling experiences that give you goosebumps. And, you know, I could name one of those as my most, I guess, compelling experience with the paranormal. But I'd have to say, to be quite frank and honest, it's actually an accumulation over time of seeing with my own two eyes absolute proof that God exists or some sort of intelligent design exists through thousands of natal charts that I've studied. to me, that's a holy thing. It's very obvious to me. I mean, and to me, it's proof in a way that I can accept. I don't feel that I need to prove it to other people. It's past the judge and the jury in my heart. And really, that's enough for me. It's just so amazing to see a person's basic life pattern permuted, varied, and repeated throughout their life. And it's that confirmation that there is design that really makes me feel better. I think one of the things that bothers a lot of people is the idea that there's no design in the universe, that it's an accident or that it's a chaos. And there's a lot of chaos that's out there, but if we zoom out the microscope, so to speak, or zoom out the telescope, we get a wider perspective. We see that what we thought was chaotic in life or in the universe is actually a very orderly part of a larger pattern. You know, and
well,
yes.
Do you think that it's chaos, or that we create chaos collectively because we're not looking at the pattern, we're not looking at the big picture to understand it?
I think it's chaos because our perspective is skewed. It's like taking a tapestry or a mosaic and putting it under a microscope. You'd see only a chaotic scrawl of color. But if you look at it at a normal resolution, then you see pattern in the tapestry. For example, an individual human life, we have tunnel vision on that thing. We don't realize it and perceive it to be only a single episode in an infinite series of different shows. We see the individual life as the entire series itself, as the entire season. Season one of you. We don't realize that there are season, you know, to the nth degrees of you, and that this life is just one episode of that season. We don't realize that. And so, you know, it skews our perspective. It seems things might seem chaotic. This guy, he's a bum. He lives in the streets. He doesn't do anything for himself. How could he? And we don't understand that his life is just one tiny season, one tiny episode, rather, in a larger work.
You know? I agree with you that the more you study metaphysics, the more you analyze astrological charts, whether they're the charts of individuals or of nations or weather patterns, whatever it may be, we become convinced that there is an incredible mind or intelligence at work.
Right. And you know what? Speaking of an incredible mind, my incredible mind just remembered that I better actually announce the call-in number. Otherwise, we won't have any call-ins. So let me go ahead and get that out. Let me get that out of the way real fast. The call-in number for your free readings is 724-444-4851. Again, that is 724-444-4851. Each call will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. You'll hear the show to help you relax during the wait. Please be very clear and direct with your one question. We can only take one question per person in the interest of fairness, and we thank you in advance for respecting that, please. So let's make it a sharp, focused question, and you'll get a very good answer. Okay, Steve, just wanted to get that off my chest. I feel better now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's good. I really enjoy that part of the show when we give our readings. Well, Maureen, let me ask you a question. I know that you work a lot with the tarot. Mm-hmm. Do you find that the tarot helps to explain the chaos?
You know, I feel the tarot for me helps me explain the chaos, or it helps me get a knowing of the chaos. And also because I do feel, if I look at it this way, if I'm not reading for someone, I guess this question is interesting what you asked me. And you asked me actually not about reading for someone. Yes, I do. Because of the fact that, again, like I always say this, tarot is a symbolic record of human experience. And I feel that is exactly, chaos brings about enlightenment. Chaos brings about knowing. Chaos brings about a lot of things. And to me, the tarot does have that going. And also, it also, you know, the directions it goes, it even goes further than that. Even with the other science, universal sciences that we have, the astrology, numerology, I feel they all kind of explain all together, fusing together.
They do. I find it fascinating that they all correlate with each other.
Absolutely.
Tarot and astrology, for example.
It's amazing. It blew me away when I, you know, I was self-taught. It blew me away when I was doing research. I was, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. I was seeking knowledge, and there were, I didn't have a computer. I was only had library books and books. My mind was getting overloaded. But, you know, I'll tell you something. It was amazing. And even going back into the book or the Bible, and about certain things in the Quran and certain things in Buddhism, everything kind of, it's a collectiveness. You know, she talked about something being inherited. I know you, I'm a Jungian person altogether, but Jung said, we're all, his view was, and I back it, and I feel very strongly that he was onto something, that we're all born as with an inherited type of psychic connection. We may not know it, but it's part of our makeup. So, and then we create chaos and detach from each other. But, you know, it's a collective, we're collectively all part of this. So, yeah. Definitely. I think that answers your question.
Oh, yes. It does.
Yeah.
It does.
It's fascinating. Does. Yes. Thank you.
Do you feel that in our lifetimes, telepathy will be proven beyond doubt?
Yes, I absolutely think it's already happening right now. I do. I feel the break. Yes, I do. That's just my view.
You know what, guys? I actually have a telepathic breakthrough right now. We have a call from New York for Maureen.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Hello, New York. This is Maureen. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. What's your name, please?
Anne.
Hi, Anne. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. What can I help you with?
So, last Friday, I was kind of complaining to a coworker about my boss. The coworker's name is Justin, and I just wanted to make sure my boss didn't hear it, and I also want to make sure, like, Justin isn't annoyed with me because I, like, constantly, like, talk to him about this or that.
Okay, I gotcha. Justin is a person you spoke to in hopefully in confidence, and that's okay. Okay, got it. That's a very good, you know, and I like this question. A lot of people aren't mindful of the fact that can be causing problems. My feeling is this: what I'm getting is that you certainly don't go socializing with everybody and telling them or talk about this. So this is just one person. I mean, I feel that you're not one that will sit there and chattiness about your situation or your upsetment or, you know, with somebody. I feel that it's okay that you confide in him. You know, it's interesting. There's been so much chaos around your work, I see. Things are starting to settle down, but you've been really patient, and you haven't been seeing the fruits of your labor. I think you do have a little bit of a gripe, but my feeling is I don't feel that your boss overheard or knows, but I'm just going to say this one thing. I encourage you to maybe try to approach your boss and talk to that person, even if they're unreasonable. If you approach it appropriately, it would be beneficial, I see, for you. Because there's been a lot of
I'm sorry, approach who?
Pardon me?
Approach who, the boss or the coworker?
Yes. No, the coworker, Justin, right? You said you've been talking and chatting about how you're unhappy with what's going on and so on, right? The thing of it is, I feel that it would be, I see that if you approach the person that you're talking about or upset about with Justin, approaching that person directly, your boss, I guess, is what?
Yeah.
I don't feel that you would be disappointed. And then you could eliminate that, and then you wouldn't be so fearful. There's been so much stuff going on around, it looks like, around this whole situation. It's been draining you to death. There's been changes. I don't know what's happening. But the thing of it is, I do feel that it's okay, but Justin, you can almost like leave him out and go directly to the source and sit down, because I do feel that you matter.
Okay.
I hope I helped you. I know that you're asking me something. I kind of went a little bit further, I guess, with the situation. I feel that, you know, just it's kind of hard on you, obviously, to keep talking to Justin about this, or you wouldn't have asked a question. And I admire that, because you're already feeling drained from that, probably. And so the thing of it is, my feeling is, I just do see a very positive expression if you make a choice, I'm not saying what to do, to go directly and talk to your boss about what's going on and what's frustrating you. I feel that you'll be heard and also you're acknowledged. I do feel that it's a good thing to do. I see positive outcome from it.
Is Justin, how does Justin feel about like my talking to him all the time?
I don't feel that he's bothered by it at all, and I feel that you can trust him. I don't see any manipulative. I don't see any troublemaking energy around him. But the thing of it is, maybe if you want, after a while, I don't know, but I don't see it to be a problem for him right now. I don't feel that at all, and I feel you can trust him.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
I hope I helped you. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Maureen. If you'd like a reading from Maureen, please visit her at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a call from Virginia. Hello, Virginia.
Hello.
How are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How may I help you?
Well, I have a question about my job. Recently, back in February, I lost my job, so it's been kind of hard with finances and everything. So I'm trying to see, when do you see me working again? Because I reapplied at the job, but they put me to a different location. But I haven't heard anything yet. So I'm trying to see whether or not I'll be going back to work.
Okay. Now, it seems to me like you really want to know if you're going to, because you say you reapplied with this other with your same job, but for a different location. Did I understand that correctly?
Yes. I reapplied for the same location, but they sent me a link to a closer location, which would have been better for me because the location where I was at, it was a lot of drama with people. It was just too much chaos. You understand? So I feel like this is my, it'd be a better chance for me, a new location, like a better start over. You understand?
I do understand. I think, yeah, absolutely. I think absolutely you should definitely apply at that other location. If before you apply anywhere else, I do believe that your chances of getting in at the other location are much better. Actually, looking into the future of this, the reversed Nine of Swords, okay, when this card is upright, it usually represents arguing, struggling with somebody all the time. But here it's reversed. So I do believe once you get over there, you'll get along also with your coworkers better. You'll be able to strike up better friendships over there. And the Four of Swords is sort of an energy of, man, I wished I had done this earlier. I wished I had gone over there earlier. Now, as far as whether or not you can get in over there, I'm inclined to say that, yes, you can get in over there. I don't have any reason to believe that your reputation at the other place that you left, I don't have any reason to believe that your reputation there is bad. The Two of Swords tells me you're a hard worker, that you're stubborn when it comes to the good things, that you'll persevere, in other words. You know what I'm saying? Tells me that you're a good worker. And so your reputation is going to precede you. Definitely try it that other place. Either way, even if you don't get on at the alternate location, which I do believe you will, I'm pretty sure you will, even if you don't, I'm also quite positive you'll be working within a handful of months at the most, okay?
Okay, because at the other job, like you said, it wasn't, I did my job, it was just people just drawn to me. And then, with the workplace, when everybody just clinged to you, and it seemed like everybody was like, get together and quick up, and it just didn't look well. And I was trying to distance myself from people, and it just made it look like we were all together when anything happened. So I think it was best for me to just take a step back, and then reevaluate the situation, go to a new location where I don't know anybody, so I can focus on doing my job, because financially I need it for my family. You understand? So
yes, ma'am. And I'm going to tell you something. That reverse Nine of Swords that I saw in the future tells me that when you get to the other location, you're going to be a lot wiser about getting involved with these little cliques at work. So you're not going to have a lot of the office politics that you had at the original location when you get into the new location. And I do believe your chances of getting at the new location are very good. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you much.
Yes, ma'am. God bless you. You have a good one. And thank you for listening.
You're the same. Bye-bye.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye. Okay, now we have a caller from Ohio for Sadia.
Welcome, Ohio.
Hello, yes. I have a quick question. I have a cash explosion lottery ticket that had said enter. I would like to enter it. What month do you see would be a good month for me to enter it for them to draw it to go on their show?
So you're asking about when to buy a lottery ticket?
No, when to send it in. I got like a cash explosion. It's like it's got like three enters on it, and you send it into the show, and they draw it out of the, you know, draw it out of the barrel or something, and just see what month you think would be a good month for me to send it in.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, that really isn't a specialty of mine. I'm kind of uncomfortable answering that question. I don't want to mislead you into thinking that you're going to win something if that's not what I'm seeing. Is there some other question around that you want to ask me, or something else that you would like to ask?
Yeah, do you see my daughter getting this appointment she's trying to get?
Okay, let me start by getting your first name and your date of birth. It just helps me to tune in.
Okay. It's Kathy 32251. I'm an Aries. With a Pisces.
Okay, and what's your first name?
Kathy.
Kathy. And what's your daughter's name and her date of birth?
Renee. Her birthday is January the 21st, 85.
Okay. And you want to know if she's going to get the apartment. Is there a specific apartment that she's applied for? I feel like there's more than one.
Yeah, there's one, yeah.
There's, okay, the one that she has, that you're thinking of, I'm hearing is she's not going to get. But there's another one. I actually feel like there's three she's going to look into, and I do feel like she's going to get one of them. And I actually feel good about the one that she's going to get. The one that I believe is in your head, I actually think there's a neighbor that's doing some illegal stuff, and I don't think it would be a good place for her. I feel good about the one that she gets. I actually feel like there's a female in the complex that she is going to bond with and actually have a good friendship with.
Okay.
Yeah. So a good thing to tell her is just to, you know, to maybe just say a prayer to the universe and to her guides, not to be attached to a particular apartment, but to make sure that wherever she goes, there's peace and it's safe. And that way it kind of opens. Sometimes when we get so attached to a specific thing, we get it. We can manifest. And then it turns out that we, you know, we have to get moved around a bit because it didn't work out or it wasn't a good situation for us. So the best thing for your daughter, I think, is to pray and just say, please, whatever apartment I get, make it be safe and happy and a great place for me. Because I do see that for her.
You see it being an apartment, not a house.
I see. It looks almost like a townhome, to be honest with you. But to me, it's an apartment. It's a rental, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It feels like a rental to me. So that's what I'm seeing.
Alrighty. Thank you.
Or maybe a condo. It feels connected to another building. It doesn't feel separate from a building.
Okay. Well, the one she's looking at is like two of them. There's one on each end. There's just two of them.
Okay. Okay. Well, I do see a good apartment coming her way, definitely, and it's safe.
Shortly, within a couple of months.
Within the month of May. I feel like she's moving in June.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for calling, Kathy, and thank you, Sadia. If you would like a reading from Sadia, please visit her at psychicaccess.com, and she'll have plenty of time to troubleshoot even your worst problems. Now, we have a caller from Georgia for Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from Georgia?
Hi, it's Kathy.
Hello, Kathy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Kathy. How can we help you?
I'm trying to get, I guess, resolution, some type of information. I interviewed for a job on the 16th. Thought it went really well. I didn't hear from them. The next week, I reached out to them to ask what the status was. They told me I should know by the end of last week. I didn't hear from them. I sent them an email today and haven't heard from them, so I don't know what that means. So can you tell me if I'm still in the running, if I'm not in the running, or what do you see?
I feel that you are. I'm looking at a spread of cards, Kathy, and I've got my cards laid out for the past, the more distant past, and a recent past, the current situation, then I've got my cards spread out showing me the energies that are coming up for you. And I can see what you've said in the past. I can see that you were looking for other opportunities and that you didn't feel that you were on the right path. So I could see, the cards show that, in effect. They validate what's occurred, and they also validate that you had different ideas about what you wanted to do, but that you went forward with that position. And the cards now show me that it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel to you as though this is working out. And the card I have is actually Jupiter, but it's reversed. And Jupiter's your good fortune. It's a great planet. It's expansive, and the planet of just good luck and opportunity. But when it's reversed, it indicates the opposite, that we feel somehow unfortunate, or that we're experiencing bad luck. And although that's how it feels, the cards we've got moving forward are fantastic. We've got the Empress card, which is a wonderful card of things coming together. I don't know if you use tarot, but if you don't, look online at the Empress card in the Rider-Waite deck. You've got this beautiful lady who brings together the energies of the magician and the high priestess, bringing together the two hemispheres of the brain, and so that something actually occurs. It's a card of action, of fertility, things coming to fruition. And this is the card we have. So she's showing us that you're going to do well, that you will be in a good situation. The harvest will come. You've sown the seeds, you've done the work, you've made the effort, and that the fruits will come to you. And then next to that, we've got the Wheel of Fortune card upright. So I'm very confident that there's a good opportunity on the horizon for you. Now, the question in my mind right now is, well, is it that job that you applied for, or is it something else? I do feel intuitively that you'll know where you are this month. It's May, obviously, right at the beginning of May. I'm drawn to around the 17th. And so I feel just after the middle of this month, Kathy, you'll know where you're going, and you'll know where that harvest lies. Let me see. Is it this opportunity? Yes, it is. I feel it works out for you. Just be patient. You'll be okay.
So are you saying that I won't hear from them until the 17th, or I'll be starting by the 17th?
I feel that the 17th is when you'll know that you're moving forward, that you've got a great opportunity. So I feel that by the 17th you'll have everything planned out, so you'll know what you're doing. I don't feel that you wait until that time, that you're in the dark until that point in time. I feel that there's information coming to you in the next 7 days. And again, I've got a card indicating communication, a message coming to you, and that beautiful Empress card as well. So you're going to be okay.
Okay. I hope you're right. And is this Steven or Steve?
Steve.
Okay. Thank you, because I might call you directly to get some more info on it. That's why I was trying to make sure I knew which one it was.
Okay. Well, we can both help you. We can all help you, Kathy, but I've been happy to speak with you and wish you lots of luck. Again, just two beautiful cards have fallen in front of me, Kathy. Just trust me, you're going to be okay.
Okay, thank you so much.
Good luck.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for calling, Kathy. And if you or anybody out there in the audience would like to get in touch with Steve at psychicaccess.com, he'll be there to help you troubleshoot your worst problem. Now, Maureen, we have a call for you from New Jersey.
Thank you, Stephen. Hello, New Jersey.
Hi, Maureen. This is Deborah. My daughter has been in and out of the hospital since January with viral encephalitis. They're not sure what she has. I'm trying to transfer from Maryland to New Jersey, so I'm doing a compassionate transfer to get back with my family. And hopefully my daughter, we can help her recover with love and, you know, just being there for her. Do you see that transfer coming?
Okay, I see. And so what you're asking me, because of the fact she needs to be closer to those that she knows and loves, her family. So she's not as close. You want to try to get her closer.
She's already there. She was in one hospital for 2 months.
ICU twice, but what I did was transfer her to the hospital that is closer to the family.
Right.
And she's in and out of the hospital now because of anxiety attacks. She's in recovery, but the anxiety attacks is the last part of it. So that means she's in and out when they're adjusting her medicine. But right. I would like, and her dearest dream was to have everybody together. So I'm trying to transfer, because my husband and my son was in Jersey. I'm here in Maryland with my daughter.
So I'm trying
to transfer to Jersey so everybody could be together and we get, you know, we move in together. And so she,
right,
you know,
because it's very important because they have group, also you're part of the recovery for her. And her recovery.
Exactly.
Yes. You know what? Bless your heart. And I identify with what's going on with you. You, I know it's the patience you've had has been unbelievably, I admire it. It's been hard. And it's, you're trying to work your way through the other part of, besides your emotionalness in this. I do feel you're, I absolutely see, yes, you'll be able to do exactly what you're asking, and it is the best thing. And I do feel that it will go very easy. Right now, you look very unhappy, though, that you have fear that it won't happen. Now, and I do feel, it looks like there's been a man, a young man, or it could be a man who looks younger, a husband or something, who's very much trying to take the lead on this as well, being very assertive about this. And instead of you being the only one, is that true?
It could be. You mean trying to get the transfer for me?
Exactly. Yeah. Help. Yes. Having a support with this. Yes.
I think he's our soldier because I told him, and he understands my emergencies. I have to drive 3 hours to get to New Jersey for an emergency, and he's trying to get the transfer for me.
He's going to do a fantastic job. He's very easy. He's going for it. And he's not, and I don't mean this, he's not overly aggressive. He's very assertive, and he really knows his stuff. And this is going, and at a time, you know, you got to give yourself a hand, too. But I know it's like the sun's not shining on you, you know, not literally, but the way it feels. He's really going to charge in there. And I absolutely feel, definitely, I see it's going to work out exactly how it should be, which is what you want, and how it should be where she should be. It's going to be a hard, besides that, what I'm getting, I yes to your question, but besides that, I do see the transfer getting in, and this guy involved, he's really getting on them. It's not going to be delayed or anything like that. It's going to go bam, bam. It's going to happen. But I do want to tell you, by the first of the year, I see a hard-earned victory with this situation. A hard-earned victory is exactly what it sounds like. A very hard-earned victory. There's going to be light coming out of the cloud, and it's going to get better. And they're going to find the right way to put her, you know, the right man, everything it just will get, it will feel like, oh my gosh, things are looking better. And it doesn't just temporarily, it means it will be getting better. They're getting the right thing together with, and she's going to be, it'll be okay. I'm sorry you're going through this. It's hard.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry. It's going to be okay. And bless your heart. I'm really sorry, but it's going to be good. It's going to be okay.
It's going to be really, really hard.
I hope I helped you. I feel for you, but it's going to be okay. It'll be okay. All right?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so very
Bless your
much.
Heart. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I feel so sad, but I feel happy for
Oh, thank you very much, Maureen. All of us at the Psychic Access family are definitely hoping for the best for you, caller. Thank you very much for calling, and we're going to be pulling for you, definitely. Tough situation, Maureen, tough situation for sure. Now I have a call from South Carolina. Let's hope it's a little more optimistic. Hello, caller. Are you there? Hello, South Carolina. Hello.
Sorry, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Well, thank you very much for calling. How may I help you tonight? What's your question?
My question is, in my current relationship, where is it going? I mean, we have our good, we have our bad, but I don't know where it's going, and I'm just looking for a direction and for answers.
Okay, well, let's let's just see what this relationship is all about, okay? One second while I pick up on your situation here. Well, the Eight of Cups sort of summarizes the entire situation, and the conflict with this card is there's a conflict between the heart and the head, logic and emotions. Let's see what this is not. Trump number 9, the Hermit, the Sage, the Wise Man. That shows what this is not. It's not very wise. Probably yourself. It's hard to use caution and by caution in romance and wisdom, I mean not getting emotional about things, making the right decisions with the guy that you're interested in, so that you can get the right result out of the guy. I don't think that's really what the case is going on here. What it is shown by the Ace of Cups, and simply it's just the beginning of, you know, all the beginnings of any kind of relationship are going to be tough. Even the best relationships are going to have moments of treachery, moments of deception and things like that. So I think the growing pains that you guys are having are pretty much normal, but I don't really expect it to improve, unfortunately, as much as I would like to say that. The Six of Swords tells me what the likely result is of this relationship, what's going to happen. And I think there's going to be a lot of bickering and arguments over the months, maybe even over the years, if it got that long. And I don't think that it probably would. I could be wrong there, but this card is associated with Saturn, and Saturn restricts things. He slows things down. He makes things cold. And so I do believe that after a while, this relationship would just sort of collapse because there's not enough enthusiasm and true affection to prop it up. And I think if I were you, I would go ahead and make my peace with that fact, cut my losses, and move on. That's what I would do if I were you.
Okay, judging from what I see in the future insightful. Here.
Ma'am?
I said that was very insightful. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. I'm just trying. I don't mean to be a negative Nelly. I'm just trying to save you a lot of future heartache and a lot of future money, too. Maybe I'm shooting myself in the foot, but if you keep on with this guy, you're going to be calling us up a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, hey, I'm trying to shoot myself in the foot here, trying to save you some future money.
Yeah.
So.
And that includes, because we have a daughter, and is that situation is it solely he and I, or does it include our daughter?
Well, I mean, because the daughter, I mean, parenthood might be a source of the problems, but you know, the daughter that you have together, that's a co-parenting situation that can't really be helped. You know what I mean? That's a given. I mean, looking at the romance here, though, I wouldn't hold out for a fairy tale. I'm not wearing my everything's going to work out for the best hat here, as far as the romance is concerned. But co-parenting, I don't see any problem with that.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I don't see anything impeding or blocking the co-parenting.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you so much.
I really appreciate you calling tonight, okay? I hope you'll visit us at psychicaccess.com. You get a free 6 minutes if you have never registered there before.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. We're having some great readings tonight. Very probing questions and some that are also very serious. I do believe that we are waiting for some more calls, so let me go ahead and give you guys that number once again, just in case. The number is 724-444-4851. And Sadia has a call in Arizona.
Welcome, Arizona.
Hi.
Hello.
I didn't get to hear your first part of the show. I just got on, so it's good to hear you guys giving good advice.
Oh, well, welcome.
I guess my question is, if we only get one right.
Yes, yeah.
So my question is, I guess, would be about my own ability. I guess I'm just wondering, I guess I'm anticipating for it to come more to me. And maybe I'm missing it, or maybe I need to do more meditation or something.
That's actually a great question. Yeah. Can I get your first name?
Oh, Serena.
Serena, beautiful. Okay, and what's your date of birth, Serena?
129.
Okay. Do you feel comfortable giving me the year? You don't have to if you don't.
Oh, 74. 74.
Okay. Well, okay. So this is based on my training, but also intuitive. So it's kind of a little bit of both. I teach Kundalini yoga, and whenever someone tells me, you know, how can I become more intuitive? How can I become more psychic? Or how can I even protect myself from other people's negative energy? Because I'm very empathic and I'm sensitive to other people's energy. I always recommend Kundalini yoga. What it does is it expands your aura. And so it actually does protect you from other people's energy. And a lot of people are coming home these days and feeling drained and tired and even depressed, even though their life is fine. But it's because they're around so many negative people or negative conversations or gossip, and it drains you. But it also raises your intuition. And what it does is basically helps you to bring more of your higher self into your body. We keep part of our higher self on the other side. And the more work you do like this, the more of that energy you're able to pull into your body. And then, of course, you have a reserve, so you're able to heal people. You become more psychic. You become more telepathic, more of the things that we are on the other side when we don't have the restrictions of the human body. And so when you become more of yourself and more of your higher self, it raises your intuition. You also will start getting, you know, warnings, be able to see people that might be having some ulterior motives. You start reading people's thoughts. So be prepared for that if that's something that you want. But I always recommend Kundalini yoga. And I do feel like you do meditate, right?
I guess it's no. I'm not a good meditation.
That's interesting because I see you having meditated and dabbling in it. I actually feel like Kundalini yoga would resonate really well with you because I feel like you've done some other meditations that I feel like it was the word restrictive comes into my head, and I feel like this would work for you. So hopefully that answers your question. I feel like you were asking like how to develop your abilities rather than do you have abilities. Did I misread your question?
No, it's kind of a roundabout question. I guess I do. Okay. Well, I already know I do need to meditate a little bit more. I just am reading other people's ability. I mean, reading other people's emotions, and I'm able to do that. It's just, you know, sometimes I wonder how much of that is just my opinion, or is it that, you know, their motive or their exact thinking, and it just kind of, it spins off from that, like, you know, oh, I just need to get away from them.
Right. That's why I mentioned that, because your energy, you know, you've got this is very common these days when I read people's energy, is you have a high vibration that's being sucked dry.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you are picking up on other people's stuff, and because you're not doing, you have the ability, but you're not doing protective work, it's just wiping you out and confusing you too. So, I can't say
it
enough.
I'm wondering if I'm able to meditate alone, or do I need to do it in a group setting and have somebody show me and, you know, in an open
Yeah, I always course. Recommend the class for Kundalini yoga for several reasons, because when you have so many people in the room and they all have good intentions, it affects your vibration. Just like when you're in the room with a whole bunch of people who have negative intentions, it affects your vibration. So it raises your vibration. I also feel like there is an energy exchange between the teacher and the student. And sometimes questions come up for people. You know, you're manipulating your energy. It's in a positive way. But so things may come up and you want to ask somebody. However, since other people are listening, you know, I will say that you can actually, you know, go to YouTube and type in Kundalini yoga and do it for free. I really recommend a class if you can do it. But some people they're disabled or they're broke right now. And there are other ways of getting it. Do whatever you can. But if you can get to a class, it's international. It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome, Serena. Good luck to you.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much for calling, Serena. And thank you, Sadia, for that excellent reading. If anyone would like a reading from Sadia, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. Now we have a caller from South Dakota for Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from South Dakota?
Hello, Steve. This is me. I've been having health problems, so I wanted to ask you what you see is going on. I saw I had all these things happening to me, and I can't really pinpoint what it is. I thought it was my thyroid that was giving me problems. I have a lot of those symptoms, or most or all of those symptoms, and had the test done again. It came out negative. And then last night I could barely make it home from work, falling asleep as I was driving home, went to bed shortly after 6, and it was like I was just out completely, like in a coma. And then I could barely pull myself in, went into the emergency room, and they did all these tests on me, and then they said, oh, the tests come out okay, and the doctor didn't even... The healthcare in South Dakota is not that great, and so I was really frustrated. My heart rate was like 48. You know, everything just kind of dropped, and so I don't know what to think now. I just can't go on with this. With this energy level being so low, and just all these. These things keep happening to me, and so I don't know whether it's a lesson. I don't know whether it's my lesson in being assertive, or what it's supposed to be. So I wanted to know what you see.
Well, I feel like there's I see from the cards that it's challenging for you. You've gone from being a really quite healthy person, quite vibrant person, to somebody that's really lacking in energy. I feel like you have a disrupted sleep pattern as well, to be honest. Don't feel like your sleep cycle is right. And I can see that, as you say, right now, there's quite a lot of stress related to your health. And obviously, I'm not a doctor, and you need to take your medical advice from doctors. But I don't feel that you're going to resolve this quickly. I feel like it's going to take some time. My guides are showing me the planet Neptune, and whenever Neptune is involved in a situation, it's confusing, it's cloudy. When it comes to weather, Neptune rules fog. So your situation is quite foggy. You know that these symptoms you're having are very real, but your doctors are really not sure what the problem is. They're quite baffled by it. Now, I feel that you're going to have to do quite a lot of research, and I don't feel that you're going to get the answers within the next couple of months. I feel it's going to take 3 months before you really start to understand the situation. But I feel like you've got to be more assertive with your doctors. I feel like you do need to say, this is real, this is what's happened to me. You know, falling asleep or feeling sleepy in your car is potentially deadly. You know, that can't happen. So you need to really push them to get this explored. I do feel that you need to have a blood tests done, and I'm sure that you've already had some, but I feel like you need to insist on more. I feel like there are things that you can do with your diet to boost your energy levels as well, but you've really got quite a bit of work to do. And you know, I don't want to speculate about your health. What I can say to you is that very good astrology, very detailed astrology, can be very useful for understanding what's occurring health-wise. Again, that's not a substitute for seeing your doctors and pursuing the conventional investigations, but it's something that can provide insight, leads that you can give information from that to your doctors, and it might help them to get to the bottom of it. But I feel like you need to look a little bit further afield for some organizations or healthcare organizations that will investigate until they get to the bottom of it. You have got good healthcare, haven't you?
No.
Do you?
No,
well,
I
feel like you've got good health insurance.
The healthcare is horrible. It's actually very horrible, and it's put me in this place where what good is it to go for me to go in They're just going to say there's nothing wrong with you and send me home. And they're going to do one or two tests and say you're fine and send me home. And that's what they've done in my last two times I went.
But do you have that's a choice difficult. As to where you go?
No, I have just one place that I can go.
So your health insurance only enables you to go to one healthcare facility?
I don't have health insurance.
Oh, I see. Well, I feel like you need to get better health care, better health insurance, because I feel that you've really got to push hard to investigate this. So I honestly feel like you need to look for better health coverage and push to get access to other health facilities that can investigate in more detail. As I said, if you contact myself or Stephen on Psychic Access, we can have a look at astrology and see if we can give you some leads on what might be going on. But again, that's not a substitute. It's just information that you can use to maybe ask more questions of your doctors. But I do feel you'll sort it out, but I feel it's going to take about 3 months before you know what's going on here.
Okay. Do you feel it's a lesson? That was part of my question. Do you feel it's a lesson that I'm needing to go through?
I feel, you know, you can philosophically you can say that everything is a lesson.
Okay. That's true.
But I do feel you need to be more assertive, if that's what you mean. I feel like you need to take charge of this situation. I know in the UK we tend to go to the doctor and the doctor says what they say and we take their word as gospel and we go away and do as we're told. And one of the things I like about the US is we're more assertive about our needs. So I feel that's what you need to do. Okay?
Okay, thank you. That answered my question. Thank
You're welcome. Good luck.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for that call, and thank you for the reading, Steve. If anyone would like a reading from Stephen Frampton, please look him up on psychicaccess.com. Now, we have a call for Maureen from Florida.
Thank you. Hello, Florida.
Yes, this is Patsy. How are you doing?
Fine, Patsy. How are you?
Good. I'm starting a new job, and I want to make sure I made the right decision. I start on the 19th, and then also I'm in this relationship. I'm not sure if I need to stick with it or I just want to move on.
Okay. I'm not. I want to make sure I understand you. You're asking. You were starting a new job on May the 19th, and
yes, I just gave my resignation. I want to make sure I made the right decision.
Okay, and so you're wondering if you made the right choice or decision that you've already made, right?
Yes.
Well, I think you're pretty smart, but I'll see what can come about. But I do feel that what I'm getting is this. You know, I feel that you weren't where you're at still right now, getting ready to leave. You weren't learning anything more, and so by what I mean is something that you didn't want to, but it was like you could. It wasn't feeling good or challenging or like. It wasn't feeling like you were getting stimulated, I guess, intellectually where you are. Does that make sense?
Yes. I did it with my eyes closed. It was easy.
Exactly. Yes. Overqualified. So I really feel you absolutely reached out. You did the right choice. Not only that is, I feel that you're going to get a little bit more or be more at peace. You almost like you need some – I'm not saying – it's almost like – you feel, before you start the new one, I don't know, will you have any extra days between before you start the new one? Will you have any days off before?
Yes, good. I have like 4 days off, yes.
Because I see that it's very much needed because it's almost like you've been through, even though what you asked me, I mean, I can't go into, I know a lot of things just with the time, but I do want to say this, what I'm seeing is you've gone through a lot more than just what you're asking me. You need some quality time to be recharging your batteries. And I see that happening. So I'm really glad to hear. Things that you've been let down, there's a lot of things I see you reflecting on and about, you know, is this – everything's going to feel – I see you feeling liberated. And so you not only made the right choice, I see liberation. You're no more – there's no more the feeling of self-imprisonment going on. And this pertains to your personal life and your job in every area. It's really a good timeline right now that you're coming to. I see you really feeling like it's your – first time, or a long time, let's put it this way, in a long time, you are really have taken control of what direction you want to take in your life. And it's really positive.
It's very good. How about my relationship that I have with my friend? He's kind of a long-distance relationship. I'm not sure
I can't really answer two questions because we have a time restraint, but what I can tell you there's a little bit burden on that, but whatever you're doing right now is positive, but we have to take the next caller. I'm sorry, but I hope I helped you.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you. Yes, you did.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you very much, caller, for calling tonight, and thank you, Maureen, for that reading. I have a call from Virginia. Hello, Virginia.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well. My name is Stephanie. How are you?
I'm fine, Stephanie. How may I help you tonight?
I just want a little insight about a gentleman that I'm interested in. And this is kind of what's going on with us. It's kind of we're long distance. I heard the lady before me, and it's just been kind of a roller coaster ride. He was someone that I dated in high school, and we reconnected after like 30 years. So just trying to get some insight on what's going, you know, his feelings for me and what's kind of going on.
Okay. Okay, that's a good question. That's a very good question, actually. Let's see what he's thinking and desiring from you, and then let's see how that will impact his behavior. Okay, 1 second while I pick up on this situation.
Okay.
The Three of Swords reversed. That's the entire situation here. And I tell you what, the threes, the numerology of three, a lot of times they have to do with idealism and imagination and ambition. You see what I mean? And I'll tell you what, a lot of times with these situations where we have someone from our past to come back, the reason these relationships or the promise or the idea of these relationships seem so compelling is because it's irritating some past idealism, some past ambition that we may have had to have the person, either him for you or you for him. And it really does inflame the imagination. And because of the idealism that's involved with these types of liaisons, because of the imagination that's going on, a lot of times this doesn't really bode well for any kind of real romance, because this is something that we see in movies. This is a Richard Gere movie, but we live in the real world and there's some distance here. So that's what the situation is. Now, as far as what he's actually thinking, what does he think about you? We have the Seven of Scepters reversed. What does that mean as far as what he's thinking about you? Well, the number seven has to do with mobility. So he's probably also thinking about ways that he can reliably see you. Now he's dealing with the check that his mouth just wrote. You know what I'm saying? How am I going to see her? I live X many miles away. Can I take a bus every week? Can I drive every week? Now those sorts of thoughts are going through his head. So thoughts of mobility. And also because it's the fire element, there is desire. He wants this to happen. He's got a lot of enthusiasm in his thoughts for you right now. And so I would expect there to be future dealings with him. I would expect him to make an effort. I see a lot of enthusiasm here, quite frankly. Even though there's a lot of, like I said, idealism and illusion and things of that nature going on, this gentleman does seem devoted to the idea of at least seeing if it can be made real. Because the magician, Trump number one, is the card representing his desires. And it always represents the impulse to start something new and to exercise one's will and power. And what's going to happen? The result of this is Trump number 21, the adept. This is a card of skill. So he's going to try to recapture a skill that he didn't have when you guys knew each other before. And so for that reason, I'd expect him to contact you more.
Yeah, and I guess my thing has been, it was going great at one point. I know you can't answer another question, but then it's just kind of been like a roller coaster. And I know he likes me, but it's not consistent at all right now, which gets me really frustrated. So.
Yeah, well, he's also dealing with those ideals, those illusions that we talked about before. So now he's coming across the person that you are X amount of years later, and this is kind of slow, you know, taking the wind out of his sails and things of that nature. So, you know, some time has passed. And again, that Trump 21, it's a card of skill. So everything that he's doing, this wishy-washiness, it's so that he can have more skill with you. Now, skill for him is going to mean a different thing than skill for me and you. He wants skill in the sense of, you know, having a certain kind of relationship with you, in the sense of, you know, he has you, I don't want to say under control, but he's the one who has more power in the relationship, or he's the one who has more influence in the relationship. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's not just, yeah, hey, let's do this. It's a, let's do this on my terms is what it is. And that's what the magician is all about. That's what he wants. The magician is about willpower. It's not about so much me and you blending our methods to get the job done. It's about me doing and you going along with it or peddling your papers elsewhere. You see, but he's, so that's part of why he's enthusiastic about keep, about continuing the effort as well, because, you know, he senses that he's not going to have that ideal perfect relationship with you that he has in his mind that he wants to have. And so he's going to continue to try to make it happen the way that he wants it. And sometimes he's going to get frustrated and pull back, and other times he's going to go forward. But you're going to keep hearing from him, though, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Well, that brings us to the end of another enlightening show. Big thanks to Doug C., who works behind the scene to make the rest of us look good. Thank you, Doug. A big thanks to Maureen and Sadia and Steve Frampton for adding their brilliance and their special light and magic into the mix tonight. And thanks to you, all the faithful listeners, for joining us in the chat room and on your computers this evening and every Thursday evening to make Psychic Viewpoint an awesome place to be. My show, actually, is next week, and I will be interviewing Christopher Warnock, a practicing attorney, member in good standing of the bar of the Supreme Court of Iowa, and astrological magician. Well, good night, everyone. From all of us to all of you, we wish you prosperity, health, and happiness. See you next week.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.